We're talking this morning about a medical dilemma that thousands of parents across America have to confront every year. It starts with some good news. The services and technologies that are needed to keep premature infants alive have advanced over the past few decades to the point where 95% of premature babies survive. That's mostly thanks to advances in neonatal intensive care units, or NICUs. The problem is that while some of these preemies can be saved, they'll live with severe developmental disabilities for the rest of their lives. And that presents a really tough choice for doctors and for parents. We're joined this morning in studio by Tammy Gaines. She's a mother of four. Her twins were born very prematurely, and she's the author of Preemie Parents, 26 Ways to Grow with Your Premature Baby. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
Really good. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
We also have with us this morning Art Kaplan. He heads the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU's Langone Medical Center. Welcome back to The Takeaway, Art.
Thanks for having me.
Hang on the phone there just for a second for me, Art. Tammy, I want to start with you. Your twins were born at 25 weeks?
Yes.
So very dangerously premature.
Yes, and I was in the hospital for 5 weeks before they were born.
Oh, my goodness.
So I actually went into labor when they were 21 weeks.
That's a heck of an ordeal.
Absolutely. I was going through a divorce. You know, the stress from that is what put me on bed rest for 5 weeks. It was an unexpected roller coaster.
When the twins were born, obviously there was the possibility that they would be facing complications. What did you know right at the beginning? What could doctors tell you?
Nothing.
Really? Like,
they don't make guarantees. You know, there's no guarantees of viability. There's no one case that always happens.
Mm-hmm.
So they encouraged me to terminate the pregnancy very early on, because they said the risk of developmental difficulties, physical, you know, challenges was so great. But I couldn't justify it. So, you know, the doctors, they don't make any guarantees. It's literally like up to the universe.
What happened with your twins? What was the outcome?
The twins were born at 25 weeks. They went straight to the NICU. My daughter spent 4 months in the neonatal intensive care unit.
Wow.
She had some liver problems. She had some retinopathy, which is an eye issue. They both had severe infections, but she came home on oxygen, on some monitors. She's fantastic today.
Terrific.
My son had a much longer journey, so he spent 9 months in the NICU, and then he spent 4 months in the pediatric intensive care unit and 4.5 months in a rehab hospital. So he didn't even come home until he was 18 months old.
Oh, my goodness.
Why he was in the NICU, he couldn't breathe on his own, so he had a trach. He was on a ventilator, oxygen. He had two heart surgeries, hernia surgery. He had a feeding tube placed because he couldn't eat. Like, literally anything that could have gone wrong went wrong with him. You know, I got the call dozens of times that he's not going to make it. You know, I needed to get to the hospital, and it was, you know, it's an emotional roller coaster. It's something you don't expect to happen, and no one can give you any answers. It's not like going to the dentist and they say you have a cavity.
Did you feel like the doctors did a good job of telling you these are your options, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, or was it entirely left up to you as the parent to make the decision?
I had there was a team of about 11 neonatologists, and one of them was very forthcoming. His name is Dr. Mims. He's amazing. He was always a dad before he was a doctor, which gave us a very different relationship. But, you know, in that situation, doctors are supposed to be very objective. They ask what you want to do. So they're asking me what I want to do without any medical training, without any, you know, idea of outcomes. So I developed a question that I asked every doctor all the time, which was, what would you do if this was your baby? And it puts them in it gives them a different perspective, and you get very different information when you say that.
Art Kaplan, I want to bring you in. You know, one of the things that interested me as I was researching this story is that there is such fierce debate over the ethics of resuscitating premature babies. And I wonder, obviously for parents, it's a very different consideration. What are doctors thinking about in a situation like this?
Well, first let me say, very impressed with Tammy's perseverance and willingness to share that story.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors think in neonatology, I would say with great ambivalence. The first thing they think is, when it comes to having a child, I'm not going to tell you explicitly what to do. I could suggest things. I could certainly share my own values about things. But when it comes to making a decision about whether or not to try and save a preemie baby, a handicapped baby, they really don't want to be seen as making the call. You know, that's different from, say, if I show up with super high blood pressure, they're going to say, you got to get that down, and we're going to treat it. Mm-hmm. And I might be saying, I don't want to, I don't like it, and they're sort of indifferent to that. So reproduction is a different matter when it comes to doctors' values. They're also thinking, I know what the outcomes are, I know what the statistics show, but as Tammy said, each case is unique, so they have generalizations. They know under 25 weeks, really likely to get disability. They're also thinking weight and size count here enormously. They're thinking, too, boy, do you know what you're in store for down the road, even when the baby comes out of the neonatal ICU?
Art, Todd Zwillick here. The long learning curve for physicians over end-of-life issues, for instance, when somebody's about to have kidney dialysis and the doctor says, sure, we can do kidney dialysis, you'll live another year, but your quality of life will be lousy. We're just getting to the point where those conversations mm-hmm. about the realities of quality of life are becoming a little more common. Is it the same ethical dilemma at the beginning of life? We can save your baby, but it might be really, really sick. Or is that conversation even one that's going on with pregnant moms and with dads around the country?
You know, Todd, it's interesting. 50 years ago, doctors made these decisions, and they made them on quality of life grounds, and they basically did not treat when they thought there was going to be moderate to severe disability. Child with Down syndrome, child with spina bifida, these children were allowed to die. So we've shifted our thinking. We forget this, but there has been a moral tsunami come through. We today don't view disability as the horror, as the sort of something to be avoided at all costs. So that shift has led to a little more discussion about neonatologists, neonatal nurses saying, well, you know, here's what the outcome is likely to be. Here's where we think your child's going to be. But it's awfully much focused in the neonatal unit. It isn't something where people are saying, and here's what it looks like 5 years out, 10 years out. And when you die, here's the situation your child will be in if they have severe developmental disability. Very focused on quality of life predictions over the next 6 months, 2 months, a year, that sort of thing, but not beyond.
So the calculations for doctors and for parents here, obviously very, very difficult on both sides of the equation. Tammy, I want to talk to you a little bit about the impression you get as a mother. Your twins turned out in some ways to have very different qualities of life. Excuse me. Your daughter sort of proceeded on a path that is less stressful, less afflicted. Your son, on the other hand, had a great deal more difficulty. When you look at the two of them, how as a mother do you process the fact that they may end up in very different places in life despite the fact that they're twins?
You know, at first I have to go back to my experience when I was having the twins, because what happens is when you go into labor, the room is full of doctors, nurses, residents that are from the labor ward. And then the NICU, the neonatologists come in and they say, what do you want to do with the babies?
Mm-hmm.
They're not even born yet. Like, we're still in it. So it's such a difficult decision for a parent to make in that emotional state. I was by myself when I had to make it. And I said to the doctor, you know, if they come out kicking and screaming, I want you to use heroic efforts to save them. If they come out and they look like they don't belong here or they don't want to stay, then give them back to God. So that, to me, making that decision at that very moment was going to impact every decision I made going forward. So when I look at them today, you know, they turned six. My daughter finished kindergarten. She's had an absolutely phenomenal school year. My son Trey is still on oxygen. He was on a vent until about 2 years ago.
Wow.
He's in an inclusive classroom with kids that have emotional handicaps, physical handicaps. And I walk into the class, you know, I go, and they were right next door to each other in school. So I would go into my daughter's classroom, and she's thriving, and there's 20 kids in there that are clearly going to have, you know, hopefully great lives. And I go next door into my son's classroom, and I'm thinking, like, how did I end up here? How did he end up here? I have no regrets over the decision I made. I feel like if he wasn't supposed to be here, he would have died a long time ago because mm-hmm. he had many opportunities. You know, they've resuscitated him, I don't know, probably 3 dozen times in his very short life. But the fact that he's still here says to me that I need to keep the faith that he's going to be fine and that this is his journey that he's on. And it's sometimes I have my moments. I have four kids. My two older kids are amazing, and they're all in the backyard playing, and he's trying to keep up. So just as a parent, I stick with my decision that I made in the beginning, and I knew that this was going to be the course to some degree.
Art Kaplan, just a couple seconds left here, but obviously hearing Tammy's story, this must be the problem that doctors are facing when they give a parent advice. I mean, Tammy had twins. One turned out, perfectly fine. The other is facing challenges. It seems like you just really can't tell in these cases.
You have generalizations, you have overall statistics, but you don't have the ability to predict what the individual baby is going to do, either when they're born or over the course of a lifetime. So it's a very uncertain set of facts that parents are forced to deal with by the technology. I think doctors try to give advice, they try to give those statistics, but again, it's generalities when you want to know, what's going to happen to my baby?
Yeah, you want to know the specifics. Art Kaplan heads the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU's Langone Medical Center. And Tammy Gaines is a mother of twins who were born prematurely and author of the book Preemie Parents. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.